Diecast, everybody. I'm Seamus. With me this week is Christopher.
Hello.
And Joshua.
Hi. I have a greeting.
And
hello.
And Mumbles.
No.
Josh always tries to be funny, and it never works out for him.
He
I know.
Never plans ahead.
It's like the story of my life.
It never works.
And so this week, Mumbles was gone last week. She was doing a honeymoon at the Disney place.
Yay!
And I can never remember
Disney
worlds from the Disneylands. So just, but I'm always fascinated to see pictures of them and to hear about them. So I demanded this. Tell us about the Disney that you visited.
Have you ever actually been to any of them?
No. I've never been west of the Mississippi. I've never been south of the Mason-Dixon line.
You are.
That
like...
sounds like a country song. I like it.
The most mid, the most northeastern Mason or country song in the world.
Okay. So, if you know anything about me, like whenever I'm going to do something, I usually research it to the extreme, to the point where it stops being fun anymore. Like, for example, wrestling. When I first got into wrestling, I learned everything you could ever fucking learn about wrestling in the first couple months of watching it. And so now, my honeymoon was going to be at Disneyland, so I spent like half a year researching Disney shit, because I thought that if I would go to Disneyland, I wanted to know everything I could possibly fucking know, to the point where I know shit about the trees. Like, there's a tree there that I can point to and touch and say, this tree was here before Disneyland. It was a gift that the previous landowner had and asked Disney to not tear down. Like, I know that level of shit about Disneyland. So, no. By the time we went... Yeah.
Then Disney was a dick and replaced it with a plastic replica.
Right? No, he took care of it. Disney's a weird dude. Like... I went to the Disney Museum, even, and I learned about animatronics, and I learned about how the people mover works, and all that shit.
People
so anyway.
Mover.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, when I went to Disney, I, like, would just walk around and show Nick stuff. I'd be like, I tell him about the trees, I tell him about that there's this test wall where the day before Disneyland, while they were, like, developing and shit, they had this whole wall where they're like, oh, let's use this brick. No, let's use this brick. So they had a test wall.
Oh my gosh.
And
I
want
to go to Disney
there.
World with that with you. Would that be weird? Would that be okay with everybody?
No. I don't know. I'm the kind of person where I think knowledge is like fun. And so
yeah.
I think that it's inter-
yeah. How
it's
dare
entertaining
you.
To know this.
Knowledge is for stuffy, crummy old people.
No, Mumble, I'm sure vests. Our spouses would be totally cool with it and have no problem. We'll just...
Right, exactly. I'm taking Seamus to Disneyland.
Honey, I'm going to Disneyland with a girl I met on the internet. I'll be back.
I'm it's not purely sure educational.
Yeah, she's going to tell me about
educational.
Disney.
Purely educational.
She's just telling me about Disney World. I don't see why you're making a big deal of this.
Okay, like, my knowledge of Disneyland is to the point where there used to be a bra shop in Disneyland. I think it only lasted, like, a couple weeks. But
wait,
there was
what?
A brassiere shop. Yes. There was a there was a shop where you could go buy bras from fucking Walt Disney on Main Street. And it was called, like, the Brassiere Bazaar or some shit like that. And they had a bra wizard in there. And he was this guy who dressed up as a wizard, and he was the wizard of fucking bras. Like,
why
how great
guy?
Is that?
Why wouldn't
I
it
don't
be like,
know!
Why wouldn't it be a sorceress or something?
They wanted to make it extremely creepy. Not just kind of creepy.
It had the history of bras there. So you could go in and they'd have these, you know, those little machines where you can like look into them. They're like penny machines kind of.
Like in
show
BioShock
slides.
Stereotypes.
Yeah, exactly like that. Exactly. They had that for the history of bras. And so teenage boys would be like, I'm going to go get a cotton candy, Mom. I'll see you later. And they would zip on over to the fucking bra shop and look at the history of bras. And Disney was like, maybe I shouldn't have this. Maybe this is a bad call.
So do they get rid of it entirely?
Yeah, now it's just a storefront now, and it says like grandma's something or whatever. Damn. They change it every once in a while. I know. It sucks. So like there's all kinds of weird shit. So most of the week was spent like just like looking at stuff and learning about stuff, and I met a lot of old people there. Like there's a lot of like senior citizens who like to go back to Disneyland. And the thing is that they're putting in Star Wars Land in Disneyland soon, and they're cutting what's called the Rivers of America. They're cutting it in half, and they're putting Star Wars Land on the half that they're cutting out. And so there's
Are they gonna turn it into Endor?
They're going to turn it into a space hub planet thing, where basically it has pieces of each thing that you recognize from Star Wars, and it's got like, it's basically like the like a cultural center kind of thing for Star Wars. But anyway, so but these old people are sad because that means who knows what's going to happen to Tom Sawyer's Island, Mark Twain ride.
Cool.
Yeah, like the Mark Twain ride is not going to be as long as it is now. And so I've met a lot of really cool old people who would sit and chat to me about their memories of Disneyland, which was even greater. Like one lady actually, she told me that she was there for they only had mermaids for like a year, I think. And because there's this big lagoon and they had submarines in the lagoon, but the submarines were fueled by fucking diesel. So the mermaids sitting in the lagoon would just get high off the diesel. And then they would get rashes and stuff because the chlorine would mix with the gas, and it was just gross. Oh. So they had to get rid of it. Yeah, it was super gross. But anyway, she got to see the fucking mermaids, and I was like, oh my god, that's amazing! So, like, I got to talk to all these old people, and they were with their, like, kids, and their kids were so not cool with being with their grandma. They wanted to go off and be kids, and that's, and, like, I would just be like, talking to their grandparents, and they're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I don't want to talk to my grandma, but this lady really wants to just hang and chill and talk to my fucking grandma. So, yeah. It was great. It got really crowded. It got really, really crowded Friday night, and I'm glad that it did because I was fed up with it. Like, it made me fed up with Disneyland, basically. There's too many fucking people there. And I don't know about you guys, but I get really anxious when I, like, am in crowds. Like,
I get
way
really
too
stressed
many people.
And pissed off and grouchy.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm glad that that happened because otherwise I'd be real sad about leaving. But I was like, get me the fuck out of here. I need to go. But, yeah, it was fun. I loved it. It was a lot of fun. And thank you to everyone who donated to my honeymoon. That was very sweet. And we had a great time. So, yeah. A very educational time.
How Star Wars was it?
Oh.
Like, how much more Star Wars was it than normal?
Oh, can I tell you about how I met Spider-Man? I'll get to the Star Wars stuff in a second, but I totally forgot.
No, you have
I met Spider-Man.
Spider-Man in the new Star Wars movie? Are they, like,
okay,
doing some crossover shit now?
Well, Spider-Man is legally owned by Marvel now, which means he's legally owned by Disney. And so Disneyland has this thing called Superheroes HQ. And it's on the top level of this building, the bottom level is Star Wars stuff. So you go up to this top level, and you can meet Thor and Spider-Man. And I think you can meet one other person. I don't know. And they have a bunch of... They have all the Iron Man suits on display, like every single one in the movies. It's awesome. They have these like games for kids. It's radical. So anyway, we stood in line to meet Spider-Man, and it was real. It was kind of weird. Like Nick was wearing his Deadpool hat, and Spider-Man peeked around the corner, and he was like, "Come on, Deadpool, let's take some pictures." And he was so like chatty the whole time, like just constantly talking, constantly making like web puns and spider puns and all that kind of crap. It was great. But the weird part was he wouldn't hug. He wouldn't do any kind of hugging. And he wouldn't do any weird poses. He would only do one pose. He was like a robot that couldn't comprehend anything. Like, he was just like, I only know this one pose. This is the
neurotic version of Spider-Man.
I only understand this one pose. This is it. I won't do any other pose. So, like, he wouldn't do anything fun or anything. And it was, but it was weird.
I imagine to protect Disney, because they have very specific requirements for all of their character actors, and they don't want any images getting out of, like, Spider-Man doing something a little too risque or whatever.
Well, it wasn't risque. We wanted him to do the finger touch thing from Dragon Ball to, like, combine powers, but he wouldn't do it.
Were you trying to get him to do that with a Deadpool guy?
I like the idea that you went up to this poor kid that's dressed in Spider-Man's outfit, and he has no knowledge of what Dragon Ball is, and you're like, come on, man, do the finger thing. Do the finger thing like in Dragon Ball. And he has no idea what you're talking about.
I'm not allowed. He doesn't want to admit he doesn't know. He's never read a Spider-Man comic, and he has no idea what he's doing. Yeah, I'm not allowed.
Fair enough.
See, this is so weird to me, because I was at Disneyland like 2 or maybe 3 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago, and I don't remember any of this like Marvel stuff there or Star Wars stuff, because Star Wars was like only just acquired at that point. But
there
are some people in the audience who don't know they're Disney, and I feel sorry for those people, but just for their benefit, can you explain which one is Disney World and which one is Disneyland, and what's the difference?
I can.
Disney World is in the lamer state of the United States.
Doesn't tell me anything.
Wow.
Okay. Let me do a real explanation. Disney World is in Orlando, Florida, and it has 4 theme parks: Epcot, Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom, and a bunch of other, you know, some water parks and some hotels and stuff. Disneyland is in California, and it has California Adventure and I guess just Disneyland, as well as a bunch of other hotels and a few other things. But since they're sort of landlocked in Anaheim, there's not a ton of real estate the way they have in Florida, so it's a little bit smaller, but it's also the one that is older and the one that people typically think of when they think of Disney parks. It's the castle that is in the Disney logo, for example, whereas the one in Florida is not. The castle there is not used in the logo.
Yeah, and Disney World is super lamer. It's just
Disney
so
World.
Lame.
The only thing Disney World doesn't have is the superhero crap you were talking about because of the really awkward situation with Universal.
Disney World doesn't have any of the history or the magistry. All the shit that's
Epcot.
In Disney.
That's history Epcot since like the late 70s,
place,
early 80s.
Epcot is just a place to get drunk and fucking
only
like,
the
listen
back
to
half
polka.
Of it. The front half of it is awesome Bill Nye the Science Guy stuff.
No, Epcot is where
been
Steve
there for
Rogers was
years.
Discovered by the scientist, and they signed him up for the Super Soldier program.
Actually, do you guys want to hear what Disney's original plan was for Epcot? It's kind of epic. What Disney wanted to Epcot to be Epic was Cot? This Epcot, right? He wanted it to be a technology center. He wanted it to be this giant dome.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
No, it's Epcot stands for experimental something community of tomorrow. Experimental, is it just experimental?
Yeah, let me fucking finish, Camster. Okay, so he wanted it to be, God damn it. He wanted it to be this air-controlled dome, and then he would have different, like, software companies, technology companies in each, like, corner of it, and then he wanted people to do
a World Fair thing, didn't he?
Exactly. He wanted to, like, always have new technology that you could go look at and, have it shown to you by scientists, because the World Fair kind of crapped out. So he wanted it to be a park that was basically the fucking World Fair. But the weirdest thing about it was that it was all air-controlled. He wanted it underneath this giant fucking dome where he could change the weather whenever he wanted to, and then have the, like, oh, today it's going to be sunny. Today it's going to be rainy. Like, it was madness, but it was awesome. And it wouldn't have worked because these different technology companies didn't want to, like, share secrets with each other. Like, they didn't want to have this,
door.
Like... Right, exactly.
Yeah,
that's
but
what
happened
was,
is
Camster.
Walt saw Iron Man 2 and Tony Stark's dad, and he was like, this, I like this character. I kind of want to pattern myself after him. And so he came up with right. this idea.
Right, exactly. No, so what happened was, is he died trying to plan Epcot to be that, and his brother was like, yeah, no, fuck that. That doesn't make any sense, and we can't build that, and that's crazy talk. We're just going to make it into a world of different countries and shit. That's fine. That's what happened.
I think that's like the Venture Brothers version of what actually happened. He wanted like a prototype City of Tomorrow. I've seen the prototype. They have it at the Magic Kingdom in Future World. Like it's
I've
not.
Seen it too.
There is no dome of enclosed controlling the weather.
That's
it was
what
just
he
supposed
wanted.
To be a prototype city. I
didn't
don't
include
think
that
that's
then
the
because
truth.
That's what he want. No, it is the truth. He wanted it to be, and
I like this
he wanted
idea
to
that the two Disneys are like fighting through propaganda. And you were just like people caught up in their propaganda, fighting this proxy
why
war
would,
between these two Disney factions that hate each other.
Why would Disney? Why would a Disney World display be like? Oh, by the way, Walt Disney wanted it to be all under a giant fucking dome and air controlled. That's insane. It sounds insane because it is insane. And there's no way that Disney would be like, oh yeah, that's a good thing to talk about with Walt. Like right before he died, that seems like a good thing to like bring up. He wanted it to be this crazy thing. It was nuts. It
well,
was
but it's
awesome
already disappointing
and crazy,
enough, right?
But it was nuts.
Like what he wanted was a permanent world's fair to be at the center of a hub-shaped city that would basically be forward-looking in terms of being green and eco-friendly and carbon neutral and have plenty of public transportation so that no one would have to own
carbon
cars.
Neutral,
no
yeah,
car crashes.
The carbon neutral was something people talked a lot about.
You know
way
what I mean?
Back
no, but
decades.
It wasn't
ago.
Actually meant to be carbon neutral, but. My point is, the whole point was to build a sustainable city that is entirely self-contained. People would live there for real and work there for real.
Yeah.
And then it would just have a world's fair in the center where people could come and look at all the cool new technology they were inventing, which is
yeah,
insane enough without the dome. And what
the
they
dome,
ultimately
the
ended
dome
up building
was a part
was,
of it.
What they ultimately ended up building was disappointing enough because it was basically a crappy theme park in the front and a drinking party in the back. So.
I'm glad that we agree that Epcot is just a place where you go fucking drink because that's it.
Have fond memories of Epcot not being as lame as it is today, but I like Epcot.
I'm telling you, the dome thing is totally real, and I will go fucking I will find you articles about it. It's fucked up, but I mean it makes sense that Walt Disney would be like, I want it to be a certain way. It totally isn't fitting with his character. It's totally something he would fucking do. Absolutely. This just got real serious. You just want to fucking talk
no,
about Disneyland, Camster.
What even?
I didn't know you. If I knew you had this strong feelings about fucking Epcot, then I wouldn't have brought it up.
I just wanted to complain about Marvel.
Why do you want to complain about Marvel? Because it's not in the Disneyland parks?
Yeah, well, no, it isn't in the Disneyland parks. It's not in the Disney World parks because they are contractually obligated to cede those properties to Universal. Because Islands of Adventure in Universal is has a Marvel Island that Marvel has or that Universal
Sweet.
Has an ongoing license to. So it really there's this really awkward tension in Disney World / Universal in Orlando where there's a Marvel World or a Marvel Island that has all the late 90s, early 2000s cartoon versions of all the heroes, because that's what they licensed, and they cannot use any of the new heroes, and they can't use any of the movie stuff. And it's really awkward to see, like, 1990s Wolverine walking around with 1990s Captain America, but they're not allowed to talk about any of the Avengers movies or anything like that. It is really weird. But the East Coast doesn't or the West Coast doesn't have that, so that's how you get to meet Spider-Man. And I'm envious of that, which is pretty, you know, that sounds cool.
The West Coast has the fucking the Mott's or Topps or whatever.
The like what?
There's a theme park in
Knott's Berry Farm.
In,
that's an also ran theme
yeah.
park in the same way that Wet n Wild and I don't know Busch Gardens are this, also ran
I,
theme parks.
I've never been there, but like I know about it.
It's a roller coaster
like
park.
The legendary,
that...
yeah.
It's a roller coaster park that does the second best Halloween stuff, namely like not Scary Farm
though.
More like not Scary Farm. I've made that joke before. I'm lame.
Ooh. The main public areas would be under a climate-controlled roof or dome to protect pedestrians from brutal weather. He wanted a fucking climate-controlled dome!
I'm on yesterland.com, and I'm reading this thing that says, The Claim, Epcot, the experimental prototype community of tomorrow, envisioned by Walt Disney before his death in 1966, was supposed to be enclosed in an immense dome. Status, false.
No, it's true. I'm reading a thing that says it's fucking true.
I'm reading a thing that says it's false.
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay.
Are you going to have to get Snopes in here?
I already checked. It's not on Snopes.
Tell us some things about your trip. Some of the stuff, what the highlights, just a couple of things that you liked about your particular visit. Just to bring this rambling show back on track.
Yeah. Right. I saw a Disney show called Mickey's Magic Map, and the show was centered around these giant fucking flat screen TVs made to look like a magic map, and Mickey would jump in and out of the screen. So sometimes he would be physically there, and sometimes he would be inside of the screen. And it was awesome technology shit. It was radical. And I've never seen anything like that before. I've never seen, like, something of that size used for, like, a theater production thing. It was so cool. It was so fucking cool. We went to a tiki bar where if you ordered a specific drink, there's a couple drinks that you could order. And if you ordered certain ones, they would have like a tiki show. They would like turn on thunder and they would have like things moving above and they would have like video of ships like sinking and stuff. It was radical. Let me think of one more thing.
How many times did you go on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride?
We went on Pirates a fucking lot. And the trick to Disneyland is to go as soon as it opens. So if you're lucky, sometimes go earlier than it opens because you can get like magic hour stuff and go and just try and hit every single fucking ride that you can. So with Pirates is so popular now that if you try and go on Pirates in the middle of the day. Yeah. Well, I think it's because of the movies. But if you try going in the middle of the day, it's like a 2-hour wait for fucking Pirates of the Caribbean, which is not, it's not worth it. 2 hours is
like, they updated for it, any and ride. It's still not like a fantastic ride or anything. You're still just in a slow canoe boat.
For me, I like it because at the time, it was so like beyond anything anyone's ever done. It was supposed to be a walkthrough wax museum, and then they're like, let's fucking put boats in there, and let's have them sing and stuff, and so, like, that's really cool to me, and so I like looking at it, like, from a historical point of view, and seeing, like, all the different statues and stuff and all that, but it's not worth 2 hours. I can't think of a ride that is worth 2 hours, honestly. Like, even, like, the Cars Land ride, not worth 2 hours. I can't think of anything that I'd wait fucking 2 hours for, as far as roller coaster, right? Like, that's crazy. At E3, I wouldn't even wait, like, 2 hours for something.
Would you wait for 2 hours for a roller coaster in Disneyland, though? I mean, the one in California Adventure is, like, pretty good as far as roller coasters go, but I guess I'd wait for 2 hours for Space Mountain, because I've actually done that before.
Oh, God, I hate Space Mountain. Do you like Space Mountain, really? It beats the shit out of me. Well, I'm almost 6 foot. I'm almost 6 foot tall, and so like it's this tiny little metal car.
You are in constant threat of getting decapitated from going on that ride.
Yeah. Exactly.
Whereas I'm like 8 inches shorter than you.
So it's fine. I can't handle it. Like, every time I get off that ride, I feel like someone's just been trying to, like, punch me in my legs and my hips. But it's not fun.
Legit, the best part about Space Mountain is the fucking asteroids that look like cookies flying around overhead.
Well, now it's Hyperspace Mountain. Now they put Star Wars stuff. God. So the
what?
They put this whole, I don't know if they're keeping it, but they have this whole story now where you are a rebel fighting TIE fighters, and so the whole story is you try to shake off one TIE fighter. And so you see his, like, lasers and shit, and
did
it's kind of fun.
Did they redress the cars, or are the cars still, like, the 50s Z-Rust rockets?
I think they're the same. I think they're the same.
So they just, like, switched out the video projection stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was
okay, that,
that was
says
no
to me
fun.
That it's probably just temporary, then.
Yeah, I think so, too. And then Matterhorn is still all right, but it also hurts me. It also brings me a great deal of pain, so I can only do it, like, once. It's tough being tall. It's not great. You get hurt on roller coasters all the time.
Actually, can we talk about California Adventure? Because I've only been there once, and it was the last time I went there. It was the first time I went to California Adventure. And I thought it wasn't that great. Compared to Disneyland proper, compared to Magic Kingdom.
It isn't. Yeah, like, and a lot of...
They got a couple of cool roller coaster kind of rides, but...
Yeah, it's not that great. It's all right. Basically, like, California Adventure is a park themed around educating tourists about California, which doesn't sound fun. And it could be, it's sometimes fun. They have a ride called Soarin' Over California, where
that
you,
one's fun.
It's, yeah,
but
you
really
get,
short.
Yeah, you get lifted up, above this giant fucking screen, and it feels like you're flying through California, which is kind of fun. But the main part of California Adventure is this giant boardwalk, and it has like all of these rides that you'd expect to see in a carnival. And, like, a lot of people who are fans of Disneyland are like, why is this here? The whole point of Disneyland is to, like, create rides that don't remind you of fucking carnival rides. And so, yeah, there's a lot of, like, contention about it. I don't know. Their food's good. They have great food. You can get beer and alcohol in a California Adventure. You can't get it in Disneyland. It's a dry park. So, like, you just go over there, like... We got drunk and we saw the Aladdin show, which would have been radical if this like lady next to me was insistent on showing me pictures of her son, and like
oh, no.
I was like, I'm on my honeymoon and married, like I'm married and on my honeymoon right now. My husband is sitting right next to me, and you need to be showing me pictures of your like son who's my age and talking about how great he is. Like, do you not understand? Like, that's not. What do you want from me, lady? She was just like, oh, you live in the Bay Area. Well, he sometimes goes up there, you know? And I'm like, I'm fucking married! Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Anyway, Kempster, what did you guys say?
I was just going to say, it's got to be weird. I've only been to Disneyland once, and that was back when I was in college. And they were showing the Aladdin show then as well at California Adventure.
Yeah.
And it's got to be weird to be like the director of a play like that. That has a runtime of over a decade at this point. Like, that's really got to be bizarre to be the direct. Like, that could be your entire career is being the director of Aladdin at California Adventure. Like, I don't know. That's a weird thought to me. Like, you could make an entire career, like a long term, multi decades career out of like one or two shows at Disney World. That's bizarre to me.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be there. They're closing
it.
It's going to be a Frozen show.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
they're turning everything to Frozen. I got my last ride on the stupid Norway ride before they closed it down to turn it into a Frozen ride.
I'm sorry.
All right. I sense that we have talked about enough Disney, by which I mean we just blew half our show on it. Let's go to the mailbag.
For the record, for with regards to Disney, we're not talking about Star Wars on this podcast because someone here hasn't gone and seen it yet.
So, our first question is this your work, Josh? A Dark Souls question? Though Dark Souls is known for being hard, it is also known for its aesthetic. One aspect where I really appreciated the attention to detail was the voice acting for the player character. In most games, when the player character gets hurt, you hear the unbelievable ouch or oof just to alert you. But Dark Souls makes it sound like your character is really in pain. Particularly if you choose... How do you know that? Why do you hear a lot of people in pain? Do you think other games are as deliberate about not doing what Dark Souls is deliberate about doing? Obviously, we don't want to be seriously concerned about, say, Mario's well-being when he touches a Goomba. But in the endless supply of World War II shooters, voice acting is surprisingly lacking. Is this an example? Okay, that's the question. It's from Daniel. So... Okay, Dark Souls people talk. I'm going to surf the web. I'm going to go to Imgur. You just talk, bugger. Dark Souls, shout my name when you're done.
So, I guess the voice acting in Dark Souls never really stood out to me, so... I mean, I did not get what this person is getting from it.
You are obligated to spend more time answering it than I spent reading it. So you better have more than that.
Camster, you had something to say.
I was going to say that the question is more framed around the nature of expressing player pain and agony to the player itself from the player character. And I don't know. I don't know if that's a Dark Souls specific thing. I mean, that is sort of the aesthetic of Dark Souls, is that everything hurts and everything is awful and pain follows you everywhere and knowledge is difficult to achieve because it's painful to do it. Whatever. I think part of the reason you don't want really to have characters in pain is that most games are not super interested in you being indulgent in it, and when it does get indulgent, it's weird. Like, look at sort of Tomb Raider. Like, one of the weirdest things about Tomb Raider was like, yeah, it showed Lara Croft in pain, and everyone's like, yeah, that's kind of uncomfortable, and you know,
some of that. Was okay and worked. Others, like the cutscene moments were okay and that worked.
Yeah, the story ones. Like the death ones.
Every single time you die, it's horrific and she gets impaled on a branch going down rapids or something and you're like, what the fuck? Why are you guys into snuff films? Like, what's going on?
And part of that is just like, you know, usually a death state is a you screwed up message to the player, but it's like a you screwed up message that was, you know, masochistic. It was really brutal. It wasn't just like the guy screams and falls over in Doom and you go, oh, I died. Oops. It was much more than that. So there are times where making the player character hurt works, I think. I think it kind of worked at the end of that Bioshock DLC, the Bioshock Infinite DLC, where they kind of did the... Yeah, Burial at Sea. Minor spoilers. They do some stuff to Elizabeth's head and eyes that is done in first person, and it is kind of weird to watch, but makes you very uncomfortable, but that's the point. And I think that was kind of effective. I mean, it made me squirm in my seat, and that felt like the intention. So I think there can be times where you're making the player character express real genuine pain, but you have to be selective about it. It can't be in a shooter every time you get hit, because...
Right.
You can't have your character fall to his knees and scream and swear and sob and ask for their mother while they slowly bleed out in the middle of your action-packed first-person shooter, where you're going to get shot a lot.
Like, yeah.
Also, 10 hours into it, it's going to wear off its efficacy. At a certain point, you're like, yeah, I know, you want your mom. Shut up, get up, get the health back.
So, yeah, it's know. Like the difference between like where in World War II movies like Saving Private Ryan, you have scenes where terrible shit is happening and people are dying and it's awful and the horrors of war and stuff, but those are kind of short and interspersed with a lot of not people dying all the time, and those are like specifically there to highlight that at a particular time. And to tell us about the characters and what the characters are going through. And in a game where, like, even if it was just, like, not your character, but, like, other NPCs that you're running around with in your World War II shooter, like after 8 or 10 hours of that, yeah, you're going to get bored of... You're going to get tired of listening to your whiny teammates die horribly. It would, like... I mean, World War II shooters are kind of, like, about glorifying the soldier
valor.
And the you know, Band of Brothers valor, yeah, Henry V kind of shit, and and like it would seem out of place to be also constantly be like, oh, it's terrible that people are, your buddies are dying all the time, and this sucks, and war is awful and should not be fought in a game about shooting Nazis.
I think a lot of it is tone. I don't remember Dark Souls voice acting in particular sticking out to me, although granted you played a lot more of it than I did. But I mean,
I can remember it. It's not bad. I don't want to give the impression that I think like it's terrible or anything. Like, I can understand how someone could get the like it sounds more like they're in pain than the like sort of non-committal like grunt of like other like video game protagonists when they get hit. Like there's that element to it, I guess.
But I mean, I think that fits for the tone and subject matter that Dark Souls is going for. It's very much sort of about pain and suffering. Sometimes the players, sometimes the player characters. Whereas I think something more like Nathan Drake is, you know, Uncharted is not going to have that. Nathan Drake's not going to want to double over and cry and have genuine pain, because it's sort of a pulpy fun adventure where you go and, you know, even when it's at its most self-serious, it's pretty pulpy and goofy. And that's not the case for Dark Souls. So I think you can make that sort of pain stuff work to a degree, but you also can't lay it on too thick, right? Like, you kind of have to have a more believable pain cry or bark, but, I mean, like, in real life, if you got, like, stabbed through the gut, you're not just going to go, like, even just a really, really believable, you're going to, like, double over, fall down, cry, crawl away, leaving a trail of blood everywhere. At a certain point, you are abstracting the violence, even in something like Dark Souls. And so you can't really try to sell the pain. You just have to sort of, like, sell the pain enough to know that he's really hurt and he's not a video game or 80s action hero going, ugh, it's just a flesh wound, and keep moving. But most games do, because they don't want to focus on that pain, I think. That's something that would be better left to more serious games or games about pain.
Yeah, if this were like a Telltale-style game set in not The Walking Dead or some other universe where people regularly get killed, you know, if it were Life is Strange with a dark twist on it, you know, and you wanted to have the protagonist be screaming in agony, like, that might work, because it's not something that the protagonist is constantly doing. You know, they're not constantly engaging in violence. So, like it depends upon the game you're making and what you want the game to be about, really.
Seamus, we answered the question.
What? Oh, I was just watching
Ryan
versus...
barely even talked about Dark Souls, actually.
Oh, I was watching Ryan versus Dorkman lightsaber fight. Just trying to get myself ready for seeing Star Wars on Monday. All right. Let's see. Dear Diecast, you described the origins of the Diecast as a warm-up before spoiler warning. Now that the Diecast has proven successful and taken on a life of its own, do you still need a warm-up for the warm-up? And this is also from Daniel. I don't know if it's the same Daniel, because I didn't copy and paste the whole name into the document.
It's the protagonist from Amnesia. Even he doesn't remember.
Oh, yeah. No, we in fact always do a warm-up. In fact, I think it's weird to just jump into a show cold. I think it's always super awkward. We can tell when it's time to, like, start doing the show. When I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, you went to Disney this week. That's right. And then it immediately launches a discussion and everybody starts talking at the same time because we all have something to say about it. And we're like, boom, there, that's a topic for this week. Because we all know we have something to say and we're eager to hear what the others have to say. So we need the warm-up.
This week we spent 25 minutes with the only topic that we thought we were going to talk about was Camster monologuing about Lego Dimensions, and he hasn't even talked about that
comic
yet,
book
so.
Stuff.
Yeah, I am curious about the comic book stuff. Oh well, next time, buddy.
Also, for the record, we all have very different sleep schedules and are from very different time zones, so at any given point when we're getting in here, some of us are about to go to bed. Some of us have just gotten up. Some of us are in the middle of the day. Mumbles often just cuts her sleep in half. We're all kind of zombies when we get in here.
I think that's it. Chris is about to go to bed. Josh just got up. Mumbles had to cut her sleep in half. And this is the middle of my day. So yeah, that's exactly
yeah.
it.
Although 3 weeks ago, you were yeah. like 2 hours overdue for sleeping because
yeah,
you live on like crazy moon magic schedules.
Well, I mean, this is what happens when you work at home and you like my day is naturally, if you cut me off from the sun and took away my clock, I would probably naturally fall into like a 24 and a half hour schedule. That's just what's natural for me. So my schedule just constantly rolls forward if I don't fight against it. So that's a problem I have once in a while, is sometimes it rolls around to a really... And right now in my life, it's super inconvenient. I need to be awake in the middle of the afternoon to meet with the Pyrodactyl guys. I need to be awake at this time to meet with you guys. And there's some other stuff I've got going on in the evenings. And it's like, wait, well, when do I sleep? There's like... Everybody wants time with me, like, exactly 6 hours apart.
Just for clarification, it is currently 11:36 p.m. EST. So,
yes.
Make of that what you will.
Yeah, it's... So, I don't know if that answered the question, but I hope so, because we're moving on. Okay, the next questions we have actually came from Mumbles, put out the call on Twitter. Mumbles, why don't you read the questions?
Okay, so the first one that we got was from Teen Sith, and it was, should they do an HD remake of KOTOR? And I think, yeah, I wouldn't hate that, but only if you're allowed to romance Candoris. That would be fun.
I would see, if you're going to do an HD remake implies to me new models and textures, but same voice files, which would kind of preclude that.
Like, yeah, what?
Like, if
what
they're
kind
gonna
of HD
re- if they're
remake
g-
are we talking
gonna,
about?
Yeah, if they're just going to re-record everybody's dialogue, and then they're just going to, you know, hire Nathan Drake's voice actor to come in here and be Candoris, then I don't think it's going to work out for you there, Mumbles. And you'll be like all this. So I would totally be just to have another excuse, but there's no way they would just release the game kind of as they would want to mess with it. They'd want to
right
streamline
like that combat
it.
Is really getting yeah. long in the tooth.
It
at
really
this point.
Is,
and it definitely doesn't make sense to anyone playing games in this decade where it's like, oh, it's an ARP, it's a D&D system. That's been mixed with another
that.
With a D20 system based on like the old Star Wars RPG.
Plus one,
and, like
to
why
hit.
Is this in
plus
a video
one
game?
What?
It would what absolutely hit. Have the Dragon Age combat. Fucking absolutely.
What the hell does critical threat mean?
See, I don't know. They just re-released Turok in all of its ugly glory with an HD remix or remake, whatever. And all they did was basically port it to an OpenGL renderer and a new engine that can basically render it at full resolution. It wouldn't surprise me if they did something like that, like a quick on the cheap job. The only thing that they would really struggle with is maybe the FMV sequences would need to be resampled yes. to something that isn't 3x6. But other than
yeah.
that,
That would actually be really cool. Yeah, actually just new models, like new textures, and redo the cutscenes. I would buy that. I would buy that for good monies. Yeah. I don't know if it would actually sell.
Can we do the cutscenes in something that's not Bink Video so I can record them this time?
I would assume. I mean, the only thing more archaic than Bink Video is if they just gave you a roll of papyrus on with like hieroglyphics telling you what happened. Yeah, I don't think they'd use Bink. They'd probably just do in-engine because that's what they do these days.
Right.
Game engines look so good. Why would you pre-record cutscenes?
The pre-rendered cutscene is dead. Thank God.
Once in a while, there's still one, but yeah, they're getting to be the exception instead of the standard. All right, next question.
Okay, Aaron Shett asks, where would the Spoiler Warning crew like to see the next Fallout game, and what region-specific things would they like to see?
20 years after the bombs fell. That's all I care about. I don't care where you put the
damn
thing.
If Bethesda is doing it again, then yes.
I don't care about anything. Just put it 20 years after the bombs fell and flush all of the, including Fallout 1. I don't want it. I don't want you to keep that either, because I don't think you can handle that. Just wipe the slate clean, reboot the setting 20 or 40 years after the bombs fell.
Do you know,
you're crawling out, and that's it.
Okay, I talked to this guy at Disneyland. Okay, so we have vault sweatshirts. We have 101 vault sweatshirts because there's not really a vault sweatshirt for New Vegas. But and we were wearing around Disneyland, and there's a lot of people who stopped us to talk about Fallout, which was awesome. And I talked to this one guy who was from Las Vegas, and he told me that he can't...
I was at the Rumbles. What are you talking about?
It was Joshua. No, he told me that he doesn't like the New Vegas game because it screws with, like, his knowledge of Las Vegas. He's like, that's not supposed to be there. It's the same shit that Josh was doing during that season.
But I was praising it for being like, I can just figure out where stuff is naturally.
Just like how I went crazy when we did the Pit DLC, and it just didn't even make sense as a representative. Like, I thought... accepting that it's supposed to... Well, they had the bridges, which I guess was a nice touch. But it didn't seem to, like, have any bearing on anything. It was like, why did you bother setting this in the known place since it's just a big maze? But go ahead.
I thought you went crazy about the Pit because, like, it was a fucking terrible story and made no sense. And there was a baby that, like, we maybe ate, I guess. I don't even remember.
That's right. The other thing is that it was written by a 3-year-old. It was, like, the worst excesses of
Bethesda. And then you eat a baby.
Like, the low point for them was just Fallout 3 and its DLC, where they thought they were good storytellers and they weren't. And it was somewhere around Skyrim they realized, oh, wait, we're shit at this. Well, let's stop trying and just do something really generic so that we won't, our sins won't be so obvious. And I think that really turned a corner for them. What was the question again?
I want to see?
The next one.
I want to see a Telltale game that's all about living in a vault. You never fucking see the wasteland, ever. It's just you in a vault. Cool. That would be a great Telltale game. A fantastic fucking Telltale
Mobiles,
game.
That is brilliant. We need to get that license to Telltale and get that happening. That sounds good.
Right?
The only problem they would have is sort of thematic fatigue. Like, it would all look like the vault, and for after hours and hours, you'd need to, like, don't go in the basement, the lights are out in the basement, so we'd have a different area to go to, or, you know, go to the back.
You can get creative with
you
can get creative with what kind of vault it is. Like, maybe say it's a vault that's, like, trying to grow food underneath the earth or something, so there's... Or maybe someone else has figured out a way to tunnel out, and so there's some underground caverns and shit. You could get creative with it, I think.
There's a secret community of the lizard men running the government.
Oh my goodness. No, that's a Bethesda. That's a Bethesda.
To have sex with. The choice is to have sex with the lizard men.
One of the ways to resolve the conflict between the lizard men and the regular men is to just romance the lizard king.
Yes. Be the lizard queen.
And the lizard God king is voiced by Garrus.
Yes. Why isn't this a game?
I'd kind of like to see it go back to California.
Yeah, me too.
But
me too.
I kind of hate a lot of the stuff in Fallout 2 that it did to the setting. So, like, maybe set it before Fallout 2, which, like, Fallout 2 is everyone's favorite Fallout game for some reason. I never understood that, because it goes crazy. It's fucking nuts.
Okay, Fallout 2 does that weird thing where Fallout 1, even by 1990s computer RPG standards, was super niche, but it got a good vibe. So Fallout 2 is the one everyone actually bought. So Fallout 2 is the one everyone actually thinks of when they think of nostalgic retro Fallout, even though it is way worse than Fallout 1 in a lot of ways, but it is the one everyone played and everyone remembers.
I mean, New Vegas was basically the original Fallout 3. New Vegas was basically Van Buren in a somewhat more restricted setting. And it has a lot of the same sort of stuff that Fallout 2 had in it. It's a lot of, like, wacky stuff. Like, Fallout 1 had that 50s aesthetic, you know, like this is the future as imagined by people in the 50s was always sort of the thrust of it, but it was a lot more subtle about it, and it was a lot more like Mad Max influence in Fallout 1 than
I have to say
Fallouts.
I'm having a hard time with the current iteration of Fallout where it's not this is what the people in the 50s thought the future would be. It's culture never fucking changed for, what was it, like 40 years, and now 200
no,
more
years. No,
no,
no. The bombs fell in 2070, so it was actually like 130 years, 120 years.
I have such a hard time, like, comprehending that. Like, I know it's happened in history before. I know that there's been societies that didn't fucking change a thing for, like, hundreds of years. I'm pretty sure, right? Joshua, you're the history guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could
say
that
about...
But in, like,
far history, right?
Japan.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was common in like, more... Like, as you go back further closer to ancient history, like, societies didn't change as often, and usually they changed because of some cataclysm. I mean... Well, in Egypt, like, you can grab a piece of art from the New Kingdom from, like, the 1200s BC and compare it to a piece of art from the Old Kingdom from, like, 1500 years earlier, and they look almost identical.
I feel like that's part of the inherent contradiction of sort of the way Bethesda, and to some extent Black Isle, has set up the Fallout universe, where it's like... The only way you get to 2077 with this retro futurist 70s aesthetic is implied to be the fact that they find out how to do fusion and cold fusion, and so basically energy consumption becomes irrelevant and we just sort of perpetually have the 50s forever. But then also war never changes and it's resources like coal, oil, and land and other things that drive the war to happen, which... seems a little weird, right? Like, we have cold fusion and infinite energy, which leads to this sort of
mentioned in the Fallout Bible is, like, in the 2050s, oil runs out, and this is apparently, like, a terrible thing. It's like, but everything's running on fusion stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you need the oil for?
Was that what drove fusion development or something?
I just don't understand how culture... I don't understand how culture never changed. I just don't get that. And I don't understand... Like, actually, in the new Fallout game, there are technically new songs by the chick who played Wonder Woman in the TV show. Yeah. They're brand new songs that didn't exist in the past at any point. And it's not clear whether or not they're songs that she made... Or songs that she's singing on the radio, or songs that were from before... They don't fucking clarify that as far as I know. But the thing is I actually, back when I had a music blog, I made this post about how I think that if you lived in the wasteland, you would make music. You just would. You would make your own fucking music. And you would figure out your own styles.
Exactly.
And it's so weird to me that that has not happened in these games. And
it
totally drags me out of it sometimes, you know?
I keep flashing back to Bastion now that you say that.
Okay. That's one of the big problems with Bethesda's versions of Fallout is that they are very consistently all about, like, nothing has progressed since the bombs dropped. And this was not the case in any of the other Fallout games.
I see.
Even in Fallout 1, there was, like, oh, we got the water merchants and the caravans, and they've set up, like, you know, a workable system of trade throughout the wasteland that didn't exist before. In fact, they're the ones who backed the caps, which is why bottle caps are the fucking currency in California, and this is never, like, brought up in any of the other Fallout games, and it's really weird when you get to, because the idea originally was the water merchants were, like, backing caps with actual other valuable stuff.
It would be like if the first Fallout was set in France and everybody used wine corks as currency.
Right.
And then they moved the game to, like, Iowa, but everybody is still using wine corks and nobody comments on that. It's just, what are you doing, Bethesda?
So what you're telling me is that the bottle caps in the original Fallouts were backed by some sort of hydro standard.
Yes. Yeah, basically they had a water standard. A bunch of rich caravans came together and decided to use that as the currency.
They don't even give a shit about stuff as far as biology goes, like as far as ecosystems goes, like there's rad scorpions in fucking Washington D.C. That makes no sense. There would be no fucking rad scorpions unless like some kid. If the only way that I can see rad scorpions being a thing is if a kid had a pet rad scorpion.
That is literally the explanation they have come up with.
Is that it?
That's it. It's some pet store scorpions got mutated, I guess.
Oh, okay. But it would have been more fun if they're like, all right, what kind of, like, animals live in this swampy Washington, D.C. area? Let's figure out fun ways to mutate them. But I guess that's too much fucking work, and I guess people don't give a shit about nature enough to do that. But it would have been more immersive if they fucking cared, you know? Fucking Fallout, goddamn.
I mean, they did that a couple times. They got the Yaogwai and the Mirelurks.
Yeah. And, yeah, I did appreciate
Gold Star,
the deer. I really did it.
Yeah,
I liked
deer.
That a lot. I thought the deer was cool. Yeah, for sure. But I don't know. They could have done more, I think.
I like that they didn't feel the need to make it a monster. It's just it's literally flavor. It's just world flavor.
Yeah.
It has this weird mutated thing. And it helps fill out the food chain a little bit more. You can imagine, okay, there's some mutated shit out there that the apex predators are eating. I appreciate
that. Yeah, I like that too.
At least they have farms in this game.
Although, can
water's
I be a complete asshole?
No
can I be? No, I can't help it. I have to. Okay, you've got deer. What do the deer eat? There's no grass. It's all dead. Screw you, Bethesda. Sorry. So I had to.
That was going to be my answer, was that, you know, I don't really care where they set it because they've made settings so irrelevant. Like,
yeah.
Bethesda, yeah. By making rad scorpions everywhere and Deathclaws everywhere and the Brotherhood of Steel everywhere, it no longer feels like it no longer feels like you're playing in this one small little corner of a much bigger universe. It feels like you've seen the whole universe, right? Like, we could set it in Seattle and there would be a big space needle and there'd be some mountains and some forests of dead trees or whatever. But then there'd also be rad scorpions there and Deathclaws there, and it'd be the same crap, but just slightly different geography / landmarks. And it's just, they have robbed the universe of so much of its depth. Like, I imagine you could set the game in frickin' Russia or somewhere in China,
I'll bet
rad scorpions.
I'll bet if it was set in Russia, they'd still call them Yaogwai.
God, and that's the other thing, the naming stuff. Like, there's just, yeah.
There's little glimpses that somebody at Bethesda knows what they're doing. When you go with Paladin Dance Dance Revolution, you do that quest with him. You're running along the
path. Also known as Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, Buzz Lightyear. He does. Somebody, whoever wrote him, was like, he doesn't call them ghouls. He calls them ferals. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what a world builder does. He does, you know, a world, you know. The characters can't see the game files and they don't know this is called a Yaogwai because the person who made this model called it Yaogwai.3DX or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Every area should have their own names for shit. In today's world, you've got different names for the same thing. You've got lightning bugs and fireflies.
Soda and pop. Dummies, they call it pop. You dummy dumbs.
I had to unlearn. I deliberately unlearned so that. Dummies. I called it pop when I was a kid. I deliberately.
That's the local slang up there though is pop.
Yeah, it is, and I didn't like it.
I grew up with pop, and I have fallen back to Coke. People look at me weird down here when I say pop.
That's
somebody
good.
At Bethesda knows that you need to give things different names, and like different cultures would have different names for the same thing, and. It's just whoever that is, they need to sneak more of that into the game. There's these little flashes of like, oh, that's great. Oh, wait, it's gone. Okay, now we're just fighting a Deathclaw again or fighting a rad scorpion in downtown Boston, whatever. But there are these little moments that made me happy.
At least they don't have fucking geckos in this game.
At least they don't have Kazadors
Oh, God.
Except they do. They're just not Cazadores.
Oh, yeah. They're giant, like, mosquitoes.
I like that FEV virus is just, like, so common that every part of the entire United States now has mutants on it, just because.
FEV wasn't even the original explanation for the mutations. Originally, it was just like, this is how radiation works in this universe. It was like the 50s. Right. And then later
I thought they dumped them into that. I thought it was the Masters.
That was a Fallout 2 thing. FEV in Fallout 1 was specifically about super mutants. And like centaurs and stuff. And like ghouls were explicitly just radiation.
Okay. Stupid tall kid asked, you're trapped on a desert island with one Dragon Age companion. Which one?
Liliana. I like that accent. I can listen to that
accent. Do you get to choose, or is this like, what would your personal hell be?
Let's do both. Let's do what would the best scenario be, and what would your personal hell be?
Okay, Alistair, I'd like to hang out with Alistair, but I would spend an evening with Alistair. I don't want to be on an island with Alistair. Like, he's good. I'd go see Star Wars with Alistair. I would not want to spend days and days. I wouldn't want to be roommates with Alistair. Liliana, even though I super love her accent, even that would get old.
Did you make fun of her accent once upon a time and say it didn't?
Yeah, it didn't sound... I mean, this is a thing that... I wasn't the only one. Rutskarn, too. Like, that is the fakest French accent I've ever heard. And then she's actually French. But I can't think of anybody else that I'd want to be. Maybe the dog. The dog would be, you know...
Yeah, cool. I was thinking the dog.
You wouldn't get tired of the dog the way you'd get tired of a person. The dog wouldn't tell the same damn joke for the 100th time, and you're like, I'm gonna kill you in your sleep.
I mean, Zevran would be a cool dude to hang out with.
You've always loved him.
Sten would probably be useful.
Sten would kill you in your sleep. You'd ask him how come he doesn't have horns, and he'd be like, oh, I have to kill you for my honor or some bullshit.
Although, actually, Morrigan or Wynn would probably be much more useful than anyone else, or like any mage companion, just because they'd probably be able to get you hanging off out with of you the island.
I guess.
Yeah, Wynn would be rad. For me, it would be either the dog or Wynn. Because I could handle hanging out with Wynn all day. But fucking everybody else, they're so annoying. They're so annoying. Shut up already.
Oh, you know who? The DLC salesman guy with the exclamation mark over his head.
Fuck.
Right there in the camp. Like, yes. I'd be like, hey, dude, it's the middle of the night. I can't see what I'm doing. I need to build a fire. Bring your glowing exclamation mark over here and shine some light on this thing. I'm trying to build a hut.
We're going to go hang out with the exiled prince dude from Dragon Age 2, whose name I don't even know because I never had the DLC. Like what was it? Like, Stefan or something? Or, I don't know.
Chris?
What? Huh? What?
Dragon Age 2 companion, and if you can't name any others, you get stuck with Morrigan.
I don't know any. I've never
Morgan's
played
not
Dragon
even in
Age
Dragon Age 2.
Oh, we have a winner. Chris is getting to the joys of spending time with Morrigan. By the way, Chris, she disapproves.
Okay. I never played Dragon Age 2. I'm going to pretend it's somebody who's going to like give me thumbs up and we're going to be cool.
Seamus screwed up. There's no.
It's any Dragon
Age. Pick any Dragon Age companion, but Seamus said Dragon Age 2.
I have not played enough Dragon Age of any kind to know any of the good companions.
All right, so Morrigan it is.
I pick Trask.
I played enough Dragon Age Inquisition. I played about as much Dragon Age Inquisition as I did of Witcher 3, so take of that what you will.
Is that what happened to Trask? Is after fighting after single-handedly murdering the Dark Jedi on the Endar Spire, he got teleported to Dragon Age? Is that what happened?
Yes.
He and Jenkins teamed up and formed a superhero team.
I don't know these characters. You guys are freaking me out.
These are the people who die in the tutorial, Chris. That's who these are. We're naming people that meet and explain.
Okay. These guys are Dragon Age, actually. Trask was the white-haired dude from the opening of KOTOR. And Jenkins is the dude from the really eager Space Marine noob from the beginning of Mass Effect 1.
Can I hang out with the dog and the scientist from MDK? That's a BioWare game.
You can't just pick a BioWare game.
Well, they're picking... They are. You can't say I can't.
Well, I don't like you right now. We're in a fight, Camster.
Mumble
we're
disapproves.
In a fight, so you don't get nice things.
So, okay, personal hell version. Which character would you like to be on a desert island with the least?
Alistair.
Morgan really, would just rub me the wrong way every day.
Oh, I can pick Solus? Yeah, fuck Solus. Oh, fuck that guy. Fuck Solus. Can we just talk for a second about how much I fucking hate Solus, but I love that BioWare created him as a character? Just for a second.
Oh, really?
Is that okay?
I thought you hated the character. No, I thought you hated having him in the game, but no, you just personally dislike him. That's cool.
He's sort of like when you have the perfect bad guy in wrestling, where you're like, I fucking hate this guy, and I can't wait to see someone smash his fucking face in. That's what Solus is. And hopefully they're going to keep him being a bad guy, but like, or a somewhat bad guy. I hate him, and I feel so bad for women and people who fucking romanced him. Because, like, he comes across, first of all, he's an asshole. Like, let's not get into spoilers yet. He's a fucking asshole. He's a jerk. He is up his own ass. He hates other elves. He thinks other elves are idiots. He's an asshole. Secondly, like, he thinks that he can control everything, that he's right about everything, and he has this ultimate power that he's gonna fuck everyone with. Like, everyone. And then, lastly, he does it! He fucks everybody with his ultimate power, and he is the true bad guy of Dragon Age Inquisition.
I don't remember this part of Dragon Age Inquisition with the
orgies.
He's
the real bad guy! No, he's the real bad guy! Like, he's the one who gave the sphere to fucking Corypheus, or the fuck his name is. He gave it to him, and then, after you're done destroying him, Solus in the DLC is like, oh, by the way, I think it'd be really cool if we just got rid of, like, tore down the veil between the Fade and the real world. I did that once, I put up the Fade, so I'm just gonna get rid of it, you know? And also, I want all elves to have magic. There are elves that don't want fucking magic. Fenris, he doesn't want magic. That's the last thing that he fucking wants. Solus
I mean,
is
he's
so
a
up his ass.
God, right? He should give it to the dwarves instead. Just throw everyone.
At least be like Loki and have a little fun. He's no fun. He's a stick in the mud. He has zero sense of humor. Oh, and like, if you romance him, like, his first date is, I'm going to, like, put you to sleep and bring you into a dream, and then we're gonna make out in the dream. Like, he's just so lame. I hate him so much.
He sounds like the outsider from Dishonored, like the trickster god who's dumb and boring.
It's not boring. Yeah. He's just like super
evil. He's a jerk. He's a jerk, and he's evil. It's not like Loki, who is just like a delight and evil. That's great. He's a jerk, and he's evil, and he's the type of nerd that's like, I'm always right. I don't want to listen to anyone else. I'm always the right one. You all are idiots. And that grinds my fucking gears so much. I hate Solus.
I'm reading into this.
If I could wring the neck of a fucking Dragon Age character, it would be Solus, and I would enjoy it. If I could kill a man, if I had the ability to murder someone, it would be Solus. It wouldn't be a real person in real life who does real life things. It would be fucking Solus. Fuck that guy.
Okay,
I'm done.
As a counterpoint, Mumbles, to the Solus is with you on a desert island being the worst.
Yeah.
Anders.
Oh, fuck Anders! I would kill him too! fuck Anders! Anders has, like, he's like, oh, he's, like, on the other side of people who grind my fucking gears. Who's like, I'm just trying to help everyone. And he has the same problem. I'm always right about everything. I'm just gonna try and make sure that everybody's free, and, you know, if I kill some people on the way, that's alright. It's no big deal. It's not terrorism or anything. Anyway, I'm gonna go do it, and I'm not gonna tell you about it, and see you later.
To tell you about it, and you can't do anything.
Oh, yeah!
I'm going to, like, on the sly, like, overtly hint that I'm going to do something terrible and then, like, not actually let you stop it in any way because we have to have our third act
fucking
finale.
Anders is, like, the annoying guy in college who's like, I just really like, you know, communism may not be such a bad idea. He's, like, that kind of motherfucker. You're just like, I hate you and your weird ideals and you think you're some kind of revolutionary, but fuck you.
I liked Anders up until the end of Dragon Age 2 when everything goes crazy. Because, like, up until that point, he had an arc to it, and he's, like, kind of going insane. And you can kind of, like, you can see that, but you can't really help him. And he kind of knows, too, but not, like, he's not willing to accept it enough to, like, do anything about it.
Yeah.
But then he blows stuff up for no reason. In a way that doesn't even make sense even for his justification.
The interesting thing to me, though, is that there are still people, like, girls who still really think that Anders is, like, cool and did the right thing and shit like that. And
This is where you end up with guys that run cults, and you're like, why did people follow this guy? He was obviously such a dumbass and full of shit, and you're like, all these people follow him. How did that happen? Well, here's one.
Yeah, it's very similar. It's very similar. And, like, even the characters in Dragon Age Inquisition aren't Game of Thrones eggs. They're like shiny ostrich eggs.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the characters in Dragon Age 1, or Dragon Age Inquisition, god damn it, who knew Anders personally, who were there when Anders blew shit up, even they are like, Anders, he had a couple screws loose, but he was an alright guy. No, he was not an alright guy. He blew up a giant building full of innocent people. Like, there's no one in the game that's like, fuck that guy.
I did a female hawk run once where I did romance Anders, and in the end, I didn't have my character kill him, but I didn't want to play that as, like, that's the good option. I wanted to play that as, like, the, you know, the weakness of it. And the game kind of doesn't, like, give you that option, at least in the epilogue. Like, it's not like, oh, you in the end couldn't bring yourself to kill your boyfriend terrorist, but you didn't think that he was, like, right in doing it. It's like, oh yeah, we're all cool with this. You're gonna help the mages now.
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit. What I did is I was romancing Fenris, and what I did is I said, oh, I won't kill Anders, and then Fenris is like, I'm gonna fucking kill him. I'm like, go get him then. Fucking murder him. And then I watched Fenris murder Anders, and it was a beautiful day. Yeah.
Okay. I sense we have die-casted as much as we can die-cast.
We've die-casted as much as Seamus wants to pay his daughter to edit a die-cast.
Wait, Campster, we gotta... Campster.
What?
Say a little narrative distance.
Why do you do this? I've never once said it.
You have actually literally said it more than once.
I should send Rachel back into the archives to find when Chris said it, and every time you ask him to say it, she'll just splice in him saying it.
Can we get a Chris soundboard?
With the John Cena theme playing in the background?
Yes!
Yeah.